We've designed a de-escalation training that we have run out, designed by nurses for nurses. So when we're talking about de-escalation training, we're talking about a set of skills that clinicians will have that assist the people that we work with to come back to emotional equilibrium when they've been emotionally distressed. So it's looking at keeping the people we work with, our consumers, safe, but it's also looking at keeping staff safe. And that's why we called it Safe Steps.
And there was a couple of key components we had to sort of identify. And the first one was making sure that it could be done within an in-service time. So we sort of had a bit of a time constraint that we wanted to make sure people could come in, do this training, walk out the door and be able to use it. I'd taught training with de-escalation training for quite a long time, and it was always conceptual. So you had a lot of great ideas and domains of de-escalation and things that you could do, but there wasn't really a here's how you do it. You had to put it together on the fly in that moment. Because we see a lot of unconscious competence with staff members we've got that do great work. There was no real way of saying, actually, what you did do, you know, you got on side, you validated, you problem solved, you know, you did this in this order. So that was the real exciting thing to say, hey, let's pull this together in a way that now it's repeatable.
And that's where we realise that emotional intelligence is so important in it, because we're looking at competencies of self-management, you know, knowing yourself and what's happening within your own body, being able to read your own emotions, but also the emotions of other people and being authentic. Yeah. And we realised there was such a huge component of that that's never taught.
I mean, the initial training is just a starting point, really, of where people go. But from there, they've got all the tools in the right toolbox that they can actually keep adding to that and work with that.
We actually have cultural safety experts. So we have Aboriginal cultural safety experts co-producing the train-the-trainer model with us. We also have transcultural experts and lived experience experts. And we do have a refugee expert as well. Plus we have a trauma-informed care expert looking at it as well. Because the traumas around restrictive practices are with the staff as well as the consumers. And the training is actually going to be run out with peer workers, with us working, because peer workers have such an important role in de-escalating and being able to let us know as trainers how certain situations would feel. And I think the impact of staff being able to understand what it feels like is so vital to this training. When we've got, you know, new grads coming onto the floor and they may experience this for the first time, if they've already had some training and they know that there's a framework that they can work through, how much more confident would you feel that our consumers will give us, you know, tips about what's going on if we're able to see them?
The aim of this training is essentially to reduce restrictive practices. When people become frightened, you know, patients and staff, that's when things, you know, clamps come on and things have to be more restrictive because we're trying to keep everyone safe. So the more skilled we have as our nurses, our workforce, the more skilled we are, the more comfortable we are with working with people through their distress and being able to come out with a more positive outcome without, you know, that, you know, and reducing restrictive practices.